Please, and turn to responsive selection number 6. Responsive selection number 6. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, may I tell you of one graduate of Southeastern who needs our special prayers. The other day at a conference in Virginia, I saw Mike Watts, whom many of you will remember. Mike lost his voice about a month ago and has not been able to speak a word since that time. I'm sure you will want to add your prayers to mine and to his and his good wife's, that his voice will be fully restored, that he may carry on the ministry to which he's been called and for which he is so well prepared and so fully dedicated. Mike Watts needs our prayers. We shall remember him today, and I trust in other days. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee that we can talk with thee, that thou hast assured us that thou art close by at all times, and that our times are in thy hand. In that faith, we come and lift our prayers to thee this day, for ourselves, for those we love, for the cause of Christ and his church, and the work of his kingdom on earth. There is much in our hearts this day. We thank thee for this seminary, for all that it has brought to us and to a host of others. We remember before thee, especially this day, the committee that is here to study our school. Grant them insight and wisdom and understanding, that they may serve the cause of Christian education as thou wouldst have it done. Bless, we pray, the president of our institution, the faculty, the staff, and the students, each one. We pray that we may make the most of our opportunity here to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the better to serve thee and our fellow men. We do, O Lord, ask thy special blessing on our friend Mike Watts. We pray that he may be restored to full health and strength to the ministry he loves and does so well. We thank thee this day for our dear friends, John Whalen and Ian Patterson, We're grateful for all that they have meant to this school and to so many of us. And we pray for them and for their wives. Added joy in life and service in the years to come. We remember before thee those who soon will graduate from this school. May they have increasing joy in their service for thee and for the Lord Christ. Grant them abundant fruit for their labors and all needed wisdom and grace and strength as the years go by. Bless us each, O God, as here or wherever thou dost call, we seek to serve thee and the Lord Jesus. Guide us each as we have need, and strengthen us by thy grace. We pray, O Lord, this day for our country. Bless our president, we pray, and those with him in places of supreme authority and responsibility. We pray, O God, that he and other leaders of the nations of the world may soon find the way to peace on earth and goodwill amongst men. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Oh.
Some of you have heard me tell of a recent conversation between Dr. Carlisle Marney and Chuck Boddy, who is the president of our Black Seminary at Nashville, Tennessee. In that conversation, Dr. Boddy was telling Dr. Marney about a certain young black preacher whom he was recommending for an important position. In describing the boy, he said, "You know, Marney, that boy has cope ability." Well, when Marney told me about that, I said, "Cope ability. What a sermon that would make." Now, I'm not sure how much of a sermon this will be, but I've been working on it ever since. The ability to cope with life. So many people don't have it. They just can't cope with life as it is. And they retreat or run away or try and escape. And yet others face up to life with marvelous grace and strength. We all need that ability, culpability. When disaster and trial and other crises come, or when we have to face the daily routine of everyday life, how can we have the grace and the strength to cope with life, not as we wish it were, but as it is? Well, I didn't want to write an essay. I want to preach a sermon, so I thought I'll go to the Bible and see what it can teach us. And the first man that came to my mind was David. You remember that precious story of David, the young lad going from tending the sheep up to where the army of Israel is confronted by the army of the Philistines. And Samson, or Goliath, had come out there and said, "I'm going to defy all of you." And he stood there with his great armor and his great sword and his spear like a weaver's beam and said, "One of you come out and fight me. Whichever one wins, that determines it." And no man in Israel would go out and fight him. And the king said, "I'll give anybody who'll go out and fight him my daughter in marriage, and I'll give him great gifts," and nobody would go. And David came and he was astounded. And he said, "I'll go and fight him." And they looked at you. But he said, "I will." And so they told the king. David went before Saul, and Saul could hardly believe it. David said, "This man has insulted the armies of the Lord my God, the God who delivered me out of the hands of the bear and the lion will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." So Saul said, "All right, I'll let you go." And David went out and conquered Goliath. David had culpability, the ability to cope with life. Moses had it. He didn't have it at first. I got a new insight into that story the other day, reading the scripture. Read where Moses walking along and saw a burning bush, and he was curious. But the scripture says it was not until he turned aside. He made a move. And of a sudden, because his mind and heart were open, it was revealed to him that he was standing on holy ground. And the Lord said, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and free my children." And Moses said, "Not me, Lord. Why, I can't do that. I stutter. I couldn't even speak properly to represent you." The Lord said, "Yes, Moses. You go, I'm going to send Aaron to do the speaking. I'll give you power in your rod as a symbol of my presence with you. You go." And in the strength of the Lord, Moses went. Or you look at Paul. Paul didn't have it at first. Paul said, "Wretched man that I am, who should deliver me out of the body of this death?" The things I would, I do not. The things I don't want to do, I do those very things. Lord, who will deliver me? But that same man in the end was the one who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's the secret of the ability to cope with life? How can we have that strength? Let me suggest several things that are important. The first is faith. The same faith that David had in the Lord his God, that if he did his part, God would deliver him. The Bible's filled with that. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. My God is able to establish you. My God is able to lift you up. Such faith is vital if we're to cope with life. And we can have it. Thank God. A very frail little lady taught that to me not long ago. She had been sick a lot. I'd visited her many times. And last time I went to see her in the hospital, she was telling me what they were doing then, because knowing that she was going to die sooner or later, she'd said to the doctors, if you've got any new treatments you want to try out on me to see if they'd help somebody else, why, go ahead and try. And they did. And we had a prayer together, and I wished her well, and she looked up at me from that pale, wan face of hers and said, Doc, I know that God is with me, and I'm not going to quit. And that faith sustained her to the end. But there's something else we need, and that is a little insight and understanding of ourselves, of what we can do and what we can't do, of the talents we do have and the talents we don't have. A little understanding of our limitations and our possibilities. David had that too. You know, I love the touches of humor that you find in the Bible, and it really is laughable. How when Saul said, well, David, sure, I'll send you out, he said, well, look, you don't have any armor on. I've got to fix you up. And he called for armor bearers, and David stood there patiently while they put that helmet on his head and the breastplate on and all of the armor that went with the times. And when they got all on, David could hardly move. He said, Lord, I can't do with all this stuff. Take it off. I could just see David standing trying to swing his arm out and see if he could use that slingshot. He said, I can't even move my arm. He said, take it off. I'll go as I am. And he went as he was. And with his strength and the Lord's together, one stone was enough. Because David used what he had. But with that, there has to be another thing that David had, and that was a purpose, a goal. It must have galled David to hear that insolent Philistine cry out against his God. And David committed himself to stand for the God who delivered him from the bear and the lion and from many a peril. And we need that sense of a goal to achieve, a purpose to be accomplished, a destiny to be fulfilled, a commitment from God that we'll see through, cost what it may. A graduate of this school illustrates that. Dr. Sandusky was telling me about him the other day. He came with his wife and three children to get a seminary education so he could serve the Lord. And the family was just all working and looking toward that great day that some of you will experience pretty soon when you walk across this platform and get that precious diploma and go out and serve the Lord. And they could hardly wait. The children were going to get out of school that day. The wife was going to get off from work. And they were all going to be here to see Daddy graduate. And then a dear lady in the church died just before commencement. And because of family travel arrangements, they had to put the hour of the funeral at the exact hour of the commencement exercise. What should he do? And they talked it over in the family, and the children went to school, the wife went to work, and he conducted the funeral. Dr. Sandusky saw him the other day and said, "I remember the big disappointment that day when you couldn't be at your own graduation." And he smiled and said, "That was the best decision I ever made, because it taught me what comes first." A goal, a purpose, a commitment to fulfill. That helps us to cope with life. But with that, we need a moral courage, not just physical courage, but a moral courage. I love Lady Bird Johnson's definition of courage. In her diary of her life in the White House, she says, "Perhaps the greatest courage of all is shown by those who just get out of bed in the morning and go around the daily duties of life." But there are crises that come when we have to face the hard tests of life. And when they come, the Lord will see a man through, if he chooses aright. I got a greeting the other day from a friend. Man came up to me and said, "You remember Bill so-and-so from Pittsburgh?" I said, "I'll never forget him." He said, "Well, I saw him the other day, and he just said, say hello to Ted for me. I haven't seen that man for years. But I saw him face a hard moral test one day. He either did something wrong or he lost his job. And he quit the job rather than do the wrong. Had to move to Pittsburgh to get another one. But Bill's been a symbol to me ever since of a Christian with moral courage to stand for what he knows is right, cost what it may." Two other things we need, and I just mentioned them. We need the fellowship and comradeship of others, so that we feel we're not really just going it alone. David had all his family watching. He couldn't quit. He had all the army of Israel behind him. It was up to him. We need that fellowship of faith that we find in family and in friendship and in the Church of Jesus Christ, where we strengthen each other in the work of the Lord. I received a letter not long ago from a woman who wrote to tell me how much her church membership had meant. She'd had a lot of hardship and trouble, and in the letter she said, "On the darkest day of my life, I came to the church and I found Christ as my Savior and a new life of faith and hope. And what had been the darkest day of her life became the greatest day of her life, because she found fellowship that sustained her in her faith. And the last thing, our own personal sense of consecration and dedication to the will of God. Because you see, that opens up channels. God can do wonders in us and through us when we give ourselves to Him. You remember that verse in Ephesians that says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And we determine how much of that we let work in us. And as much as we let him in, we have his strength and his power to cope with life. I think of that dear layman, lay preacher in a little Baptist church in a communist land. I sat at his home at supper one night, and he was telling of all the hardship and persecution and difficulties they faced, and it sort of overwhelmed me, and I said, "How in the world are you going to stand up in the face of all this?" He never said a word. He just looked up and held up his hand. And that said it all. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The man who believes that can say with Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And he has culpability. Shall we pray? We do thank thee, O God, for this strength that is thine and can be ours to deal with life as it is. And with thy help, to help make it what it ought to be. Strengthen us each as we have need by thy grace, we pray. And grant to us each thy grace, thy mercy, thy strength, and thy peace. Through Jesus Christ, our living Lord.